Thank you. It's wonderful to be back with you again. I think this is my third visit for on a Sunday, and it's my privilege to be here today. Oh, I'm just going to fix this. It's all right. We'll make it work, won't we? Yeah, so it's my privilege to be with you again this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. My name is Andrew, and I do work for the Anglican Diocese as the director of their Youth and Children's Ministry Department. I have a family. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Samantha, and I have two children, Annabelle, who's now 10, and my son, Levi, who's 8. I don't know how they got that old that quick. Parents will relate to that, but they're growing up very quickly, and I also worship with the Woden Valley Alliance Church in Western Creek, so I bring you their greetings this morning from your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So this morning, I'd like to share a message with you called His Story. And what I'd like to do this morning is just take us through what it means to live in the story that God has for us and our lives. Because, as we were saying this morning, you know, in relation to the merchant with the pearl, we sell all that we have. We sell all that we were or that we once were. And we give that up in order to come into God's kingdom because we know that God has a better plan for us. We know that actually, from the very beginning, we're meant to be with God. That's how He designed it. And we messed it up. We go our own way and we start to create these little lives for ourselves that are apart from God. And that's not how God plans it. That's not actually how God wants it to be. So this morning I'd like to share with us a little bit about how, what it looks like and what it means to leave our stories behind and embrace God's story, His story for us, and how we can live and serve Him that way. Sound good? Excellent. Now, I have some PowerPoints too, so we'll see if we can get them up. And I'll just turn this on. Day of tech, isn't it? Well, let's pray, shall we? I think that's a good place to start. Lord God, we thank You that You are a good God and that You love us. We thank You that You have a plan for our lives and that actually You've made a way for us to become, to walk in the perfect plan that You have for us. And that is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we thank You so much for that. Jesus, we thank You so much that You left Your heavenly glory and You came and lived among us in order to live and die as a perfect sacrifice so that our sin could be made clean and we could come into relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So today, Lord, as we look at what it means to walk in Your story, I ask that You would open our hearts to Your word and that You would speak to us this morning. Actually, no, God, I know You're going to speak to us this morning because Your word says that when Your word is preached that You move and it is powerful and it is active. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that as You speak to our hearts, that we would have the boldness and the courage to respond to You, that we wouldn't sit here scared and worried because You are a good God, and that as You speak to us, we would say, yes, God, I hear You and I want to respond to You this morning. That's my prayer this morning. Lord, please be in the message today. May this not be my wisdom and my words, for these are Your words and Your wisdom, God. And I ask that You would speak through me by the power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to start with a couple of slides this morning. And we're going to look at what does it mean to leave our mark on history. Okay, I'm going to pop a couple of slides up, and there's a little bit of an information there. So does anyone know who this person is? Yeah? Yeah, Einstein. Cool, sorry. I'm going to ask you to respond. You might not be used to speaking during a sermon when you're listening, but for me, it's totally okay. All right, so I give you permission. Yes, Albert Einstein changed the face of science, and you know, known particularly for his theory of relativity, among other things. All right, here's the next person. This person was a champion of the American Civil Rights Movement. Do we know who that is? Martin Luther King Jr. Absolutely. There we go. Awesome. Who's our next person? Who's this? Every time people laugh at this one. You're the third group to laugh at this one. Every time. Who is it? Absolutely. Australia's first female Prime Minister. What a way to leave your mark in history to be the first at something. Yeah? Regardless of what you think about it. Who's this?
Roger Federer.
Absolutely. Roger Federer. Widely considered the greatest male tennis player of the modern era. Absolutely fantastic. All right. Who's this person?
Jamie Oliver.
It's Gordon Ramsay, multi, multi-Michelin star chef, also known for his creative use of the English language. Here's one for the younger people in the room, possibly. Does anyone know who that is? Hey, who said that? Yeah, awesome. My kids told me about this one. Okay, I just say that. This is Dan TDM. For those of you who don't, who aren't up necessarily with what kids are up to these days, he creates content for YouTube. And essentially what he does is videos himself playing video games and puts it online and people watch him. And he was actually the highest earning YouTube content creator for 2017. I think he's about 25. And if you're looking for a career change, he actually earned $16.5 million American dollars last year just posting stuff on YouTube, essentially. That's what my kids want to be when they grow up now, which is fantastic. Yeah, exactly. I'm not that keen on that either. Hey, you want to pay me to play video games? I'm okay with that. But here's my point. You knew, or pretty much everyone in the room knew who everyone was there. Okay, they've all left their mark on history, haven't they? In one form or another. Some of them have made their mark and have been remembered for a long time, like Einstein. Our last guy, Dan TDM, will he be remembered next year? Don't know. The point is, he's still made a mark on history. His name is somewhere in a history book, or on Wikipedia, or wherever you happen to look these days, right? But the point is that they've left their mark. They've done something with their life that has meant that they are remembered, and they will be remembered. You with me? Okay. So we often in our lives, we look up to people who leave their mark, don't we? Both good and bad. We look up to people like Einstein and we go, wow, he was so smart. We look up to people like Julia Gillard and we go, wow, she really forged the way in politics for women in Australia, essentially, regardless of what you actually think about her. She made a way for them. We think of Dan TDM and he's making use of today's technologies. And he's making a name for himself that way. So inside each one of us, we think about that. You know, we all want to, we look up to people who leave their mark on history. Whoops. And we all want to do that too, don't we? If we're really honest with ourselves, deep down inside, we say, man, I want to leave my mark. I want to be remembered for something. I want to do something or be someone that other people will remember. Yeah? And I'm not saying that it needs to be something that you want to be remembered in a world-famous kind of way. Maybe you want to do something great in the field of sport. Maybe you want to do something great in the field of arts or music or cooking. Maybe it's academics. Maybe you want to be remembered for being the top of your class or writing a really great research paper or something like that. Maybe it is YouTube. Maybe it is Instagram. You want to be famous there. Maybe you just want to be known for the great selfies that you take when you head out, right? Okay, but that's the point. There's something that we'd like to be remembered for, and it doesn't need to be this huge worldwide, I'm famous, everyone knows my name. If you do want that, that's okay, all right? But what I want to make the point is that for many of us, it's not about becoming world famous. That desire in us is that we don't want recognition from the whole world, necessarily, but we want to be recognized and we want to leave our mark in history. You know, for some of us, it could simply be that we want to be a great parent to our children. It could be as simple as that, that we want to be known as a diligent worker in our career and in our workplace. We want to be known as someone who is reliable and trustworthy. And if my boss comes to me with something, they know that I can do it. It might be that you want to be known as the best cook in your street, right? It could be as simple as that. And if that's you, I'd like to sample, okay? So please see me afterwards. But you see what I'm getting at? It's not a bad thing to want to be good at stuff. It's not a bad thing to apply yourself and to work hard and to strive to be better. That's not a bad thing. In fact, God honors the fact that we want to work hard and we want to learn and we want to grow and we want to give the best that we have. Now, I'm proud to tell you that I actually have made my mark in history in this world. And like those famous people you saw at the front, I might not be as famous, but I want to share with you a little story. I want to share with you that my mark in history comes from my primary school. So in my primary school, okay, I hold all the boys' sports records for the years 1990 and 1991. All of them. Okay, for the years 5 and 6 at school, I hold them all. Looking at me now, bet you didn't see that coming, right? It's pretty impressive, isn't it? Now, I must tell you as well, to clarify my story, that in my primary school, there are only 9 boys in all of year 5 and 6. Come on, Diana. I'm not that bad. There were 9 of us, okay? There were 9 of us. And so I didn't have a lot of competition, right? But I still had to work hard. Okay, I still had to work hard and oh, that's playing a video and that shouldn't be doing that, but that's okay. We'll get to that in a minute. Maybe I accidentally pressed the button. My man at the back will fix that up for me. That's not me either. Okay, but here's the point. I worked hard, I practiced, I trained, and I was able to achieve those milestones. And to be honest, I was very grateful that my teachers at the time didn't send me on to the Zone Athletics Carnival because I really wasn't that good, right? And if I had gone there, my dreams would have been completely shattered, okay? So I can still live in this little bubble that I hold those records at that school. So I made a mark in history, and, you know, that's okay. That's a good thing. It's okay that I hold that record. And you guys might have a bit of a mark in history. You might be known for something great. You might be known for achieving something in your life, and that's great too, okay? It's okay. And if you don't, that's okay too, all right? I'm not saying that that is what defines who we are. But what I want to get to is saying that if we look around our world today and we look around at what's going on, we'll see that everywhere around us, people are wanting to be remembered. They're wanting recognition, aren't they? They want someone to recognize who they are and what they've done. They want someone, they're looking for value and recognition in their life. Would you agree with me? That people today are looking for value and recognition. They want to know that their life has meaning, that they have purpose, that they've done something that's made a difference in this world, that there is meaning and purpose and value to their life. All right? So, and our world agrees with that today. You look at the way our world works today. Who do we give glory to, essentially? It's anyone who gets their face out there. It's anyone who can do something that's either super great or super controversial, or has the most Instagram followers, or whoever it happens to be. Our world seeks to give validation to people who seem to want to put themselves out there and try and achieve and try and do something. Whether it's, we think it's a good way, you know, our research scientists who are working really hard on cures for diseases, they get credit. But also, so does Kim Kardashian, for whatever reason, right? Okay, so it doesn't seem to discriminate, although the less credible you are, like him, that you tend to get more likes and follows and things. See, it's kind of weird, isn't it? You'd think that the people who are making a real difference in the world would get that credit and that get that value and that get that recognition. But we tend to just, we're a bit shallow, if I can use that term. The world's a bit shallow in the way that it places recognition and value. And we're going to have a look at that in a little bit too. So I do have a video, and I'm not sure, are we going to be able to get the video to run? Yeah, and it says sound for the video, so if you could turn up some volume for it. Volume's not working? That's all right. Hang on, we've got a couple of tech guys coming to have a look. Yeah. Awesome. All right. It's all right, I apologize. Sometimes my tech stuff doesn't always work. It's all right, you get a bit of a preview. Maybe you can guess what you think they're saying. All right, so can we go back to the beginning of the video? That'd be cool. It makes sense, I promise. It looks weird. Here we go.
Yeah.
That's a Nike commercial. Interesting concept, though. It gives us a good snapshot of how the world works today. You know, his line is, you don't get to decide how your story begins, but you do get to decide how your story ends. And if you looked at the baby names on all those cots, they're all famous sports people who are famous now and signed with Nike, of course. But here's the point. That video encapsulates how what the world tells us today. The world tells us today that if we want to make a mark, that if we want to be known for something in this world, then it's all up to you. It's all up to you. You have unlimited potential. You have unlimited potential. And you can make of yourself whatever you like. And if you're not satisfied with where you are in life, well, it's actually your fault. Can we go back a couple of slides? Or I can do it from here. The world tells us, whoa, you get a good preview here. There we go. You see, the world tells us that our value comes from what we can achieve ourselves. The world tells us that if you want to feel valued, then you've got to do something. And if you want to be really valued, then you've got to do something absolutely great. You see, if we're going to remember for something, the world tells us that we're going to need some mad skills. Now, I recently ran this with some young people, and they say mad skills isn't the term that they use anymore. But what I mean by mad skills is that you've got to have some kind of talent. That you've either got to have some great natural talent, or you've got to work really hard to make yourself into something great. You've got to have some skills to begin with. You've got to be able to have some great skills to be able to build upon in order to make your life absolutely great and to find your value. The world tells us that how good we become is going to depend on us. It's how hard we're going to work. It's how hard we're going to invest in ourselves. It's how hard we're going to search and take those opportunities that come our way. The world tells us that it all depends on us. Now, it's okay to want to better yourself. It's okay to want to work hard. Please hear me. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. All right? But what I'm saying here is that the world tells us that it's all dependent upon you. And if you're not happy with where you are, then it's your own fault because you're not working hard enough. Or you're not good enough. You're not honing your skills enough. Can you see how that's a really two-sided message? That, yeah, you could be whatever you want, but it's all up to you. And if you fail, well, guess what? It's your fault. Is it any wonder that our world is really suffering today when people live in that kind of space? Where their self-worth and their value is dependent upon their own strength and their own abilities. And let's face it, some of us are just not as good as other people. That's just the way life is. And if we try and judge ourselves by that standard, then we're always going to feel down and we're always going to feel bad about ourselves. And friends, that's not the way it's supposed to be. If we buy into this idea that we've got to have our own mad skills in order to be good, then we find that we transfer that same idea on our faith. We look around in our faith and we say, well, if I need to have mad skills in order to be good in this life and make a difference, then if I'm going to be good in my faith, I've got to have mad faith skills. I've got to have these great skills in my faith that say, well, if I'm going to leave a mark, if I'm going to follow Jesus really well, then I've got to have these great skills in order to do that. Can you see how that thought process transfers into our faith? And so we start looking around at other people and comparing ourselves and measuring how we stack up in our faith compared to the other people around us. Am I actually good enough to leave my mark in my faith? Am I good enough to earn Jesus' approval? Am I good enough to be known as someone who has a great faith? You know, even today, you might be looking around and looking at someone and going, wow, look at her. I mean, she's so spiritual. She's always volunteering for stuff and she's always helping out. Man, she's a super Christian. Look at her. Or you're looking at someone else and going, well, man, he seems to know so much about the Bible. Every time we're in our Bible study group, he just knows so much stuff and he's able to explain it really well. I'm not like that. He must be a super Christian. Well, how am I ever going to be like that? Or we might look around and go, wow, they seem to have it all together. Look how well their kids behave. They sit so quietly in church, you know. Look at my kids, you know. wow, they must be super Christians. How am I ever going to match up to that? How am I ever going to compare myself to that? I'm just so far away. And so if we take those principles of I need to have great skills and it all depends on me, and we apply it to our faith, we end up putting ourselves in a position where we're actually not doing very well. We end up feeling more depressed and more defeated and more down, because by comparing ourselves to someone else in our faith, it's not going to lead us to a place where we're going to be happy, is it? And if you are one of those people who've got mad faith skills, it often leads us to pride, to positions where we look down on others who aren't as good as us, or don't know as much Bible as us, or whose kids are not quiet in church like my kids are. Right? I have kids, okay, I've been through that. Okay? It's not good for us. It's not good for us. Have you ever tried to live like this? Have you ever tried to live like it all depends on you, that your faith all depends on you? It depends on how well I do at reading my Bible and how much I attend church and how much I get involved and how much I pray. Anyone ever live like that? I have. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was feeling like this. I was so overwhelmed by things that were going on. I was like, God, how can I even be a Christian and follow you with all this mess that's going on in my life? It was hard. And it's exhausting. And no matter how hard I tried, I kept feeling like a failure because I kept feeling like I wasn't good enough. So if we try and live with mad faith skills, we're going to end up... That's not me, by the way. Not a Trekkie, okay? We're going to fail. And we're going to fail because we're human. You know, oh man, I've tried. I'm going to set myself a task to read my Bible every single day. And I failed at that. Okay? I'm not proud of that. I'm saying I failed at that. And because if I base my self-worth and my value on the fact that, well, if I don't meet reading the Bible every day, then I fail, I'm going to feel awful about it. Okay? And I'm not going to feel good about it. It might be that I'm going to pray for 10 minutes every day without being distracted. Sometimes I don't get to do that. And I feel like a failure if I'm living by this principle. Or I'm going to be kind to everyone because Jesus says I have to be. My friends, my family, my little brother and sister, even, you know, smelly Jerry at work. I'm going to be kind to them. And I'm not all the time. And I fail at that. You see, if I keep comparing myself to my list and comparing myself to other people, I'm never going to live up. I'm always going to feel inferior. I'm always going to feel like I'm less worthy than someone else and that I don't stack up. Friends, that's how the world tells us we're supposed to value ourselves. That we're supposed to be better than others around us to give us value and to give us recognition. And friends, if we apply that to our Christian faith, well, one, we're doing it wrong. But two, it's going to mess us up. It's going to leave you feeling nothing but down, depressed, sad. It's going to leave you missing out on what God has for you in your life. Now you see, it doesn't work because the world tells us that, well, everything depends on you. But you know what God tells us? He says, no, it doesn't. God says, no, it all depends entirely on me. It all depends entirely on me. And in the Christian world, we call this grace. We call this grace. I'm not talking about your grandma's name. I'm not talking about the meal you say before you eat. All right? Grace. We're talking about the grace that comes from God. So we're going to explore the grace that comes from God. Now, when you look up grace in the dictionary, grace tells us that it means favor. Okay, it means favor. It means to bend or stoop in kindness to another as a superior to an inferior. You with me? Grace means favor. It means to bend or stoop in kindness. It means you're not like number one, you're more like number two in those pictures there. Okay, it's about giving to someone something that they don't necessarily deserve or earn or have earned. And when we look at grace in the Bible, grace is defined as God's grace. It's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. It's his goodness towards those who have no claim on, nor reason to expect God's favor. That is God's grace to us. God is that person of superiority. God is that person who offers favor to us who do not deserve it. God's grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved. There's nothing we can do to earn God's favor, to earn God's grace. Yet God gives it to us anyway. You're starting to see the difference in our worldview here. The world tells us that it's all about us, that we'll only ever measure up if we work hard and if we are good enough. God's word and God tells us, you know what, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about me offering my grace to you so that you can be with me. You see, it becomes no longer about my skills and my story. God's grace changes that. His favor is extended to us through Jesus Christ, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that God makes us right with him through Jesus Christ. And so it's no longer about me and my story or my mad skills or my abilities. None of that matters anymore. Because if I want to leave my mark on history, actually God's grace is what leaves its mark on me and allows me to leave my mark on the world. And actually it's a bit deeper than that. It's no longer about me leaving my mark on history. Yeah. It's about God writing his story in my life and through my life. And you know what? It doesn't just leave a mark on history. It actually leaves a mark on eternity. Allowing God to give us our value, allowing God to give us our meaning and our purpose, allows us to make a difference in eternity as we seek and follow God and his will. The Bible tells us, and you know, this is backed up in Scripture. This is from Romans 3:21 to 24. Paul tells us here, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So here we're seeing that no one measures up. No one measures up to God. No one is worthy of God's praise, his love, his honor. No one's worthy of any of that because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. But we see here that we are justified through the grace and the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. This is great news for us. This is great news because it means that I don't have to try and measure up to God's standard. All I need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. Don't know about you. It sounds like it's an easier gig. Those of us who've been following Jesus for a while know it's not necessarily easy. But it doesn't rely on me anymore. It relies on what God has done for me through Jesus. We see here in our next passage, which I think is from Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul says again, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. There we go. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Again, see the gift that God is giving us? He's saying, you don't have to work hard. You don't have to rely on yourself. In fact, you can't rely on yourself to save yourself. And I know that. and I've extended my grace to you through Jesus Christ. He's not saying, you're not worthy. He's not saying, I don't love you. He's saying, I understand where you're at, and I want you to know that you have value, and that you have meaning, and that you have purpose. And where do you find that? You find it in me, and you find it through my Son, Jesus Christ. And so we start living God's story for our lives. In order to follow Jesus, what do we need to do? Well, we need to follow him every day. And to follow him every day, God's asking us to do two things. He's asking us he wants us to acknowledge daily that we've been living our own way and not God's way, and ask Jesus to forgive us, to save us, and to lead us. That's step number one. Daily, God wants us to come before him and say, God, man, I'm slipping again. I'm trying to do things my own way, my own strength. I'm trying to earn my own way. God, I'm sorry. I know that I can only find my value or my purpose in you. Please forgive me for that and help me today to live in your grace. And the second point is that then we actually have to let Jesus lead our life every day, and we have to choose to follow him. Number one's kind of easy. It's kind of easy for us to come before God and say, God, this is what I want to do. Please help me. But number two is the actual choice we have to make. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where I have to decide and make a choice and say, God, no, today I choose to actually do what I've asked. See the difference? It's easy to ask God for stuff. It's a bit harder to follow through. And God is asking us, there's two things we need to do. We actually have to surrender our lives to him daily. Say, today I want to live for you, God. Help me. Help me to live for you. Let's have a look at how Paul describes this contrast between how the world tells us to live and how God tells us to live. And we're going to read from Philippians 3, 4 to 10. And I'm using the Message version. It's a little bit more conversational, and you'll see why I'm using it in a minute. So this is Paul speaking to speaking to the Philippians, but to us as well. He says, the real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it, even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. Paul says, you know, my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting the church, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. Paul says here that if finding favor with God depends on our mad skills, then he is the man. He ticks all the boxes. He is at the top of that food chain. He is the king. He would kill it if it depended on skills and abilities. He had them all. He had them, absolute all of them. He was the man. In the world's eyes, he would have killed it if it depended on our skills and abilities. And then Paul goes on. Let's have a look. Paul then says the very credentials that these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and I'm throwing it out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules, when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Can you see the contrast here in Paul's statement, just across those verses? He says, if it was how the world tells us it is, I would have been awesome. I was the best. But he says, you know what? That's not how it is. How is it? He actually says that in comparing it, that all those skills are poop. All those skills are poop. He says they're poop. And not the cool, funny, cute emoji poop. This kind of poop. Right? I'll leave it up there for a couple more seconds so you get the idea. And I'll change it now. Right? Do you get that? Here's a man who had it all. Here's a man that the world said was the king, the boss, the best at his game. And he says, you know what? It's all actually dung. Why? Because that is not where I find my value. That is not where I find my purpose. That is not where my story is. I'm designed. My story is to be God's story in my life. And where do I find that? I find that in Jesus Christ through the grace that God offers to me. So if it's not about my mad faith skills that saves me and makes me right with God, but it's through Jesus, does that mean that I can just kind of slack off in my walk with God? Because if it's not about me, if it's not about what I do, if it's not about my skills, then really, probably don't have to work on it that hard, right? Yeah, I know you all want to say no and you're all polite. But you're right, it is no, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. And you know why? Because here's the amazing thing about grace. You see, the more we understand and accept God's grace, the more our attitude and desire to give God our very best in all things grows. The more we understand and accept the fact that, man, God, without you, I'm nothing. That without you, I have no purpose and meaning in life. That all of my purpose and meaning and who I am comes from you. It starts to change the way we think about our lives. It starts to change the way that we behave and the things that we do. And the more we understand God's grace, the more we want to spend time with God. The more thankful we are, the more grateful we are, the more we want to connect with him. And so the more time we spend in his word and praying and in ministry and just talking about him with other people. The more we understand God's grace, the more our desire grows to want to spend time with him. And so once where I was struggling really hard to try and meet my list of spiritual disciplines and devotions and reading the Bible and praying and stuff, where I was struggling, it now becomes a joy. And it now becomes something that comes easier to me because I know that when I do it, I get to hang out with my awesome Father who has given me everything. And because my attitude has changed, and is changing, I should say, I want to do these things more. And I delight in spending time in God's presence. And I'm not worried so much about my ability to meet some kind of checklist. Are you with me? It changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we act. It changes the way that we behave. And as we let God write his story in us and through us, it brings freedom. You've heard the passages that Christians say that following Jesus brings freedom. It sets me free. It doesn't just set me free from sin and death. It sets me free from the bondage of this world. It sets me free from the things that are holding me back. It sets me free from a story that I'm trying to write myself in my own strength that's not going to lead me towards God. It sets me free from these things as I embrace God's story and as I embrace God in my life and allowing him to work in me and through me. God's favor, God's grace to us opens us up to his will for our lives. It opens us up to putting ourselves away and walking in God's story and being free, bringing freedom from guilt, bringing freedom from that oppression of trying to do things our own way. It frees us up to follow God, to love him and walk in his ways. You see, grace tells us that it's no longer about what I can do to earn God's favor, but it's about what God is doing in and through me to make a difference for eternity. It's not about me anymore. It's not about me trying to earn God's favor. It's about me letting God write his story in my life and leading me on his plan for my life, and in that, helping him build his story in the world. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. I could try and do my own thing and write my own story and have my own interests and whatever, that's fine. But God says to you, you know what, that's okay, but I've got this story that not just lasts for this time period, but lasts for eternity. And I want you to help me write it. I want you to help me write what's going on in this world. I want you to be my hands and feet. I want you to go and make a difference for me in this world. I want you to see people come to faith in me. And I want you to enjoy that and experience that and see the joy that comes from that. I want you to go and do great things in my name that make a difference for eternity. Because who knows the effect? When we share faith with someone or when we serve God in our community, we don't know the ongoing effects of that. We often never see the results of those things. But God does. Now, in my role, I work with young people, and I've worked with them for a long time. And just as a quick example, I often have young people come up to me who I haven't seen in nearly 15, 20 years. And they go, "Do you remember our youth group that one time you spoke about this?" "No, not really." They go, "God used that to change my life. And now this is what I'm doing. I'm following Jesus." Or, you know, I've had young people come back to me, you know, they're pastors in churches, and, you know, or they've got like a Bible study group at their work, you know, and they're reaching out. And I'm not taking credit for that. That's God's work in them. But you see, it was me being available for God to use me. And I don't know what the outcome of that is. God does. But our job is to be faithful to what God is calling us to do today. We might never see the results of that this side of heaven, but that's okay. God wants to write his story through you and use you to write his story for eternity. So friends, today, I hope you've grasped a little bit about God's story and his story to us through grace, his grace to us. I know that we struggle, I struggle with trying to do things my own way and trying to write my own story because I want to find value and purpose and recognition in my life. And I have to keep reminding myself that no, you know where that comes from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from following God and letting him write his story in my life. You know, today, perhaps, you need to stop trying to live as if your faith all depends on you and your skills. Maybe that's you today. Now, maybe you need to come before God again this morning and say, "God, no, I want to accept your grace. I'm sorry that I've been trying to do it in my own strength and write my own story. I want to come back to you and I want to let your grace write your story in my life. And let me help write your story through this world and through eternity." Friends, God is here today and he is reaching out to you. And he's saying, "I want you to get it. I don't want you to listen to this world. I don't want you to live the way this world is telling you to live. It doesn't all depend on you, friends. It depends on me, and I'm offering you my gift, my free gift of grace. By accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and turning away from your old life and choosing to follow me, I will extend my grace to you. I want to lead you and I want to guide you. And I want to show you amazing things as you give your life to me and let me lead you and guide you." I'd like to take a moment to pray for us today. And if God's been speaking here this morning, I can feel that. And if you need to respond to God this morning, I'm not sure how you do that here. But I want to invite you to do that now. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I'm going to leave a little space of quiet. And in that space, I invite you to respond to God as he's spoken to you this morning. Okay, so let's do that. Lord God, we thank you that you are a good God and a good Father, all loving, all merciful. We thank you that you extend your grace to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you know what it's like, Jesus, to live on this earth. You did it. You may not have had social media and technologies and that kind of stuff, but life was hard for you as it is for us as well. And you relate to us. You know, you are a God who has been through everything that we've been through. And you know how hard it is for us sometimes to break away from what this world is telling us to do. But God, we know that you have given us your grace and that through Jesus Christ we can leave behind the things of this world. And we can let you write your story in us. And your story in us is going to be far greater than any story we can write for ourselves, Lord God, because anything apart from you just ends up empty and meaningless and worthless, because anything apart from you doesn't last for eternity, but you do. So God, I pray for us here this morning. Lord, you've spoken to us, and there are things that we need to respond to you with this morning. So Lord, in the next few moments of silence, reveal to us those things in our heart that we need to lay at your feet. Those things that we might need to ask forgiveness for. It might be that we need to recommit ourselves to you. Lord, in this time we just now put those things before you and bring them towards you. Bring them to you. Father, thank you that you've heard our prayers. Thank you that you've brought these things to the fore in our lives that we need to deal with, because Lord, you want us to be free. You want us to be free to follow you, to leave behind the things that shackle us to this world, that hold us back from serving you with all that we have and all that we are. So Lord, as you've heard our prayers this morning, Lord, I pray that you would help us to live those out, to leave behind the things we need to leave behind, to seek forgiveness for those things that we need to ask your forgiveness for. And Lord, to move forward in your story, walking in your grace in our lives, and allowing you to lead us into amazing things that you have for us as we seek to follow you and live our lives surrendered to Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you that we don't have to do this life alone. Thank you that in you we have everything that we need. Thank you that you've made it a way for us to come to you through Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers this morning, Lord. We commit ourselves to you and for your service in this world, because, Lord, we want to write your story and make a difference for eternity. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.